And good morning. Thank you for braving the record cold to be here and to continue in the studies of Daniel. I wanted to look this morning with you at chapter 7 of Daniel. The first message we spoke on chapter 1, and then last time chapter 2, which was a dream or a vision that was given to King Nebuchadnezzar. It was a vision of things that were and about things that were to come. We have another vision in chapter 7, which is a little different, but it is regarding the same times. Let's open in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for allowing us the opportunity and the time to open your precious word and to study these precious and timeless truths that you've given to us to instruct us and to guide us, to correct us and to comfort us. And we just ask that you'd speak to our hearts today from your word, to apply these things in our lives and to grow thereby into a better understanding of your ways and your times and understanding your Son and all the glories that are His and that belong to Him alone. May He be glorified in this time this morning. In His precious and worthy name, amen. Visions and dreams. The hymn writer wrote around the 8th century, "Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Naught be all else to me save that thou art, thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my vision." Let's read a little bit in chapter 7 together. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. This king, Belshazzar, was a descendant of, a near descendant of King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar, is tried to bring out in these messages, was the king at the first year of a 70-year time of captivity when the children of Israel were brought into Babylon and their city was destroyed and their temple was destroyed. And it was a judgment of God because they, with all their knowledge, all that had been confided to them about God and the Lord, that they turned to idols, to idol worship. And God wasn't going to let those that He loved so much go down that path. And He was going to judge them and bring them into captivity. And it was going to be a captivity of 70 years in Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar was the ruler, the king at the beginning of those 70 years. And then there were some other kings towards the end of it. And then finally Belshazzar is king. He is the last king of Babylon that we read in this 70-year time of captivity. And so he has a dream and visions, and it's a remarkable dream. Let's read a little bit about it. Daniel spake and said, "I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl, and the beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. This vision that we read, and it takes up all of chapter 7, the vision and its interpretation, is really in three parts, and these verses from 2 to 6 are the first part of this vision. And it describes these three remarkable creatures that Daniel sees there while he slept on his bed. He first says, he talks about the four winds of heaven and how they strove upon the great sea. A great sea in those days might have been the Mediterranean Sea. That was a great sea in that vicinity. Mediterranean means the middle of the earth, the great sea. And four winds of heaven striving on this great sea. That's what Daniel sees in his vision. Four winds of heaven. When the winds blow on the sea, it can do some mighty works on the sea. Water's very heavy, but the winds come and it builds up the huge waves that can churn and boil, the result of the wind on the sea. The fishermen in Galilee saw it. They would go out in their boats and the winds would come rushing through the channel. Maybe just one wind was enough to upset them and cause them great fear. The Savior would come and say, "Fear not." And if you, in your life today, are having a fearful time, the waters churning around you in confusion, it can be very frightening to be on the ocean in a storm. Jesus comes to you and says, "Fear not, fear not." He is the one that calms all of our fears and brings us life and health and peace. My younger brother, a few years ago, sailed a yacht. He and two of his friends, he sailed all the way around the world. And when he came to Africa from the West, Madagascar is here, and the southern part of Africa is there. He had to go over the top of that Madagascar and come down through this strait, this channel between Madagascar and South Africa. And the winds were contrary, and the tides were contrary, and they blew. And he said the waves were so steep, he didn't think the boat could survive going up these huge, enormous waves and plummeting down the other side. And it took like an eternity, he said, to make it through that voyage. Nobody goes through that channel for pleasure. There are no pleasure boats there, just him. The oil tankers make sure they're full of oil before they go out into that strait. And it's just the effects of wind and tides on the waters. The scriptures, when they speak about the sea and waters, they're talking about the vast sea of men, of mankind. The sea is the Gentile world, the world of men. And the scriptures talk about now not just two winds clashing, but four winds coming on this sea. We don't really know exactly what these four winds of heaven are. Maybe they're good things, maybe they're bad. But I think they involve those forces which sway men's hearts. And the Lord is showing to Daniel, he's letting them go. And so riches and culture and wisdom and government and religion are all these forces coming to bear on this great sea, and the sea is now churning, and things are going to happen to the great sea in Daniel's vision. Four winds of heaven. Scriptures talk of the seven spirits of God, and it says that they exist. Those are things that will calm our hearts and give us a right thoughts towards God. In Isaiah chapter 11, it talks about in verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord. There is one of the spirits. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. This is talking about resting upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall rest upon him the spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the spirit of counsel and might, and the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Seven spirits of God. Those are the spirits that we want to know more and more. We know all about the winds that sway men because we live in a world where man imagines himself to reign and to be all powerful. Four winds, perfect storm, and now we have beasts coming up. And the first beast was like a lion and had eagle's wings. And I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given unto it. In chapter 2 in our study, Nebuchadnezzar, that first king, he had a dream, and it troubled him so greatly. God showed to him an image of a man. It was rather a plain vision, if you will, of an image with a head of gold and an upper body of silver and a lower body of bronze or copper, and then legs of iron and feet of iron and clay and so forth. Rather a plain vision. There, God is showing to Nebuchadnezzar what Gentile kingdoms look like to men, a head of gold and silver and so forth. The value diminishing over time, the strength increasing over time. Man can understand that. But the Lord is showing to Daniel what these Gentile kings or kingdoms look like before God. And the first one is like a lion with eagle's wings on its back, a kingly beast. This is referring to the kingdom of Babylon, having wings as an eagle, a swift hunter. And that did characterize the conquests of Babylon, with strength as a lion and with a crown, like the lion's mane. This kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar was of God. And eagle's wings, strong in flight as well as in might. But there's a change that occurs. I drew a picture, you can't see it, but you're free to look at this artwork. Because it helps us to see. The pictures to Daniel are so clearly given, at least in this part, that we can somehow start to write them down and draw them. And a lion with wings. But there's a change that's going to happen, that the wings thereof are plucked. So it's not going to be able to go as far anymore. And it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon the feet as a man. And so We see a change in Nebuchadnezzar's life himself as a man, this great king, but he is swayed, he's changed in a good way by Daniel's influence. He's made to stand on his feet as a man. But sadly, man without God, as we see in Belshazzar, will turn to where a man's heart was given to it. Scripture says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? So he went from being the crowned one, this lion, to being the straitened one, one who was in confines of being but a man and made to stand as on the feet of men and given a heart of man. First beast, like the head of gold, describes the kingdom of Babylon. Next, there's another beast. It's a bear, three ribs in its mouth that comes on the scene, raised up on one side. What a strange picture that is. That's hard to draw. But there was a kingdom that came after Babylon, the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. So just like you went from a head of gold, a single kingdom, you now have this body and arms, the Medes and the Persians. And it's like this bear raised up on one side, the Medes and the Persians. There was one, the Persians were more powerful than the Medes, but they reigned together. Three ribs in its mouth. There were three primary cities of Babylon that were captured by the kings of Persia and the Medes. At the time they moved in and took control of the times of the Gentiles. And so we have these three ribs in its mouth. It's raised up on one side and it says, "Arise and go and devour much flesh." So that characterized this next kingdom, the silver kingdom in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Sounds rather nice in the eyes of men, but here in the eyes of God, it is just like a wild beast, a bear raised up on one side, rather undignified with three ribs in its mouth and so forth. But that is the picture God gives. There was weakness in the bear in that they had this unalterable law of the Medes and the Persians. So there's a certain weakness. Instead of the absolute power of a sovereign king like Nebuchadnezzar saying, "Do this or die," and so forth, they have this law of the Medes and the Persians, and if a law is passed, it cannot be changed. But you have these two factions, perhaps in the conflict, adding weakness. The third beast, is a leopard. That's not too bad to draw if you trace that, but it had on its back four wings of a fowl, and the beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. A leopard is a lean and swift animal, and this describes the Grecian empire. It's lean. This animal is lean, thin. There wasn't much financial resource behind the Greek powers that came in, but what there was an incredibly imaginative general, Alexander the Great. And he came in like a leopard and was swift. And in 11 years, he had conquered all of the lands of Babylon and the Persians and more. Just an incredible feat of military might. These would be as this torso and thighs of brass in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. We have this leopard. But then we have a leopard having some limitations, such as the wings, not of an eagle, smaller wings of birds, less financial backing there. But then four heads. Alexander the Great died like a fool. He drowned, caught a cold. He was swimming, he shouldn't have been. And he died. And four of his generals came in and took over. So the interesting thing about this Greek picture, this leopard, is that in Daniel's prophecy, this was far and away after Daniel had even passed on. So he is, the Medes and the Persians were right near to him there in Iraq. They were in Iran. But now we have this Greek empire that's coming in, and he's describing it so vividly that people have thought that this vision could not possibly have been a prophecy, that it had to have been written after the fact. But the Lord Jesus Christ refers to Daniel, the prophet. And the Lord Jesus makes no excuse for the accuracy of prophecy. It is the Word of God. The four kings, the four generals, these on the leopard's foreheads became four kingdoms over the earth, Thrace and Greece and Egypt and Syria. That's history, and you can read about that. We come to the verse 7, which is the second part of the night visions. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. The second part of Daniel's vision is, I think, more terrifying. Scriptures say it was dreadful and terrible, and no real description is made of it that ties it to a lion or a bear or a leopard. It just is this beast. And it has these 10 horns on its head and great iron teeth. And another part says it has nails of brass. This ugly, terrible beast having 10 horns. I've never seen anything like that. But if you drew a beast's head and you put 10 horns up there like bowling pins, there you'd have an idea of how 10 horns can fit on a head in a triangle. And but then we read that how one horn comes up between these 10 horns, and 3 of them are plucked out by the roots. And this one horn comes up and is speaking, has eyes as a man, and speaks great things, has no ears that are spoken of, just like a snake. Verse 9 is continuing in the second part of the vision. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were open. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. Here we have this blessed introduction in Daniel's vision, which takes it far beyond anything that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream. We have one like the Ancient of Days introduced. He talks about thrones in verse 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down. Reading it that way, it's true in a sense that the Ancient of Days is going to come in and dismiss the kingdoms of men. But really, there's something else happening there that the Ancient of Days is putting together. The thrones, it says, cast down, were thrones that were set. The Ancient of Days was setting up thrones, like in a room. If you have guests over, you put down folding chairs. Or maybe in this country, you might have thrown cushions down on the floor for your guests to sit on. The Ancient of Days, when he sets up his house, he sets up not folding chairs or cushions, but thrones. Thrones for his guests to sit on. Those that know him. And that's the meaning of the first part of verse 9, that there is this stage being set. Here those thrones are not occupied, but in the book of the Revelation they are. They're occupied by the saints. Those that know the true Ancient of Days, Jesus Christ the Lord. Revelation says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and the Ancient of Days did sit." Revelations 1, verse 7 and 8, "Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." The Ancient of Days, the Alpha and the Omega, beginning and the end. You know, man is so concerned about his imagined past. He will reach back in time billions and billions of years to try to prove and justify his godless existence. And to say that he came about as a product of chance and of time, and time becomes the god of rebellious man. Man needs time. But behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. At that time, yet future, all of man's vain and useless explanations of existence will end with a gasp, and they will see the Lord of glory, the one whom they pierced, coming back to this earth to reign. And all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. If we do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we need to come to him today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe today. If you are unsure if you're saved in your heart, and you're curious, and maybe you wake up at night and you have troubles in your head, can't sleep, turn to the Lord. He's ready to save you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will save you immediately and forever. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Fear not. Fear not. We have that his garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. Here we have holy purity in all motive and glory attributed to this one who is called here the Ancient of Days. It says then, at the end of verse 9, which I just found personally to be a fascinating verse, that in this section, that his throne was like the fiery flame. Imagine a throne of fire. You know, it speaks of judgment. It's a judgment throne that's coming on mankind. Man is rushing this way in time. But it says here, the wheels of the throne. The wheels of the throne were as burning fire. A throne burning with wheels. They're the wheels of time. And the judgment is coming this way. And man presses on heedless of the God who is coming, whom he has blindly rejected. And yet, this Ancient of Days, here in the midst of this fiery stream, still there are those that are untouched by that flame. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. the judgment was set and the books were open. And then he comes and defeats this hideous beast of 10 horns, and with the one notable horn. And verse 12 tells us that the rest of the beasts had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. We come now in verse 11 to the third part of Daniel's vision. Let's read a few verses here. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. One like the Son of Man. The Lord Jesus, when he was here, he referred to himself as the Son of Man. We know that when he was here, he raised the dead, and there were those that followed him because he raised Lazarus. They saw him as the Son of God in that power. And then there were others who saw him coming into Jerusalem as the Son of David, the hope of the Jews. And then we read that Greeks came and said, we would see Jesus. And they're showing him as the Son of Man, the Son and Savior, the Son over mankind and the Savior of mankind, the Son of Man. It's a wonderful title. It says he comes with the clouds of heaven. There's a time coming that we will be with the Lord Jesus when he reigns on the earth. He promised us this. He said in John chapter 14, fear not, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In the coming day, we will return with him to the earth, to reign with him. And I find that a tremendously humbling thought, that I will be there to reign with Christ. It's humbling, except for one thing. I know that it has nothing at all to do with me, or with anyone in this room. It has only to do with the finished work of Christ at Calvary. Because he, in all his glories, the Son of Man and the Son of God and the Son of David, he laid down his life for sinners like us. Guilty, vile, and wretched. That was us, but holy, spotless Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We read that there was given to him in verse 14 dominion and glory and a kingdom. That shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. An everlasting kingdom is coming. Why is this important to us today? You see, Daniel had this dream and this vision given to him over 2,500 years ago. And yet what he is talking about is still future to us. This last part, this beast with 10 horns and so forth, and this one horn that comes up, how strange it is. People have imagined great things about what is this one horn that comes up? Is it a great nation? Is it is the revived Roman Empire? Is it the Church of Rome? Is it the United States of America? We don't know. except that it is the political head that's going to come and is going to entice the hearts of men to follow it. And it's going to speak great swelling words and blasphemy, but it's going to be annihilated by the return of the glorious Son of God. This vision that Daniel had was just staggered all of his senses. It says in verse 15, "I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me." He had spiritual suffering here. He's grieved in spirit, physical, the midst of my body, and mental, the visions of my head troubled me. "And I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts which are four are four kings which shall arise out of the earth, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever." Brothers and sisters, I'm going to stop here in this study and just ask that we consider these things and remember that it was the Lord Jesus Christ who humbled himself, became sin for us, but that it is he that is exalted far above all heavens, and that he is coming again. He's coming again first to receive us, we who believe, to himself. I believe that time is imminent. And we need, as the children of God, not to be looking to Iraq and Iran, not looking to the UN, not looking to Germany and France. We're to be looking for our Savior to return. Scripture says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." That should be the condition of our hearts every day. Looking up into heaven. Is he coming? Wake up in the morning, look out the window. Is he there? One day he will be, and you will be with him if you receive him as your Savior. Receive him as your Savior. So let us close with prayer. Our God and Father, we thank you for this mighty vision that you gave to Daniel so long ago. We thank you that you pulled away the veil and showed him this glimpse of things to come, but not only that, but of things that are, the way things are in heaven, and how the man that the world rejected is the one that you have exalted far above all principality and power and might and dominion, that you've given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Father, may we be looking up and count, redeeming the time, for the days are short and the days are evil. May the condition of our hearts be that the Lord could come at any moment. May we be ready and walking in a life pleasing to thee, to the honor and glory of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, whose name we pray. Amen.